would you mind turning these lights on? I can't see anybody. I want to see. There you go. All right. All right. It's good to see your faces. I want to, a couple things to remind you about. Keep praying for Kent Olson. Kent is Darla's friend who has been in the hospital in and out. He is a quadriplegic, and he was dropped. He accidentally dropped himself from a Hoyer a couple weeks ago, and he has just had continual trouble after trouble after trouble. He just contracted COVID, and so that's not good. And so he's being put on a mask, and I just want you to pray for him. He's just one thing after the other. It just keeps coming after Kent. And Darla has it also, so keep praying for them. And also, Rochelle asked this morning for prayer for her son Colton, that he might not have Colton, or not have Colton, that he'd have COVID, not Colton. He is Colton. And so just pray for her. And they said they were going to stay home today and decide what was going on there. Let's pray, and we'll get right into our lesson today. Jesus, we love you, and I thank you for a great worship. Thank you for Abby and the team today, and just everybody who helped put that together. Thank you for Bob being obedient to you and listening and just doing, just challenging us all, and not just to remember today. So these next few minutes, God, just open our heart and our eyes. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is the last day of this series that I've been in called I Am Decided. I don't know where I don't have any further things I really want to talk about other than today. And we've been talking about that our decisions make us and we make our decisions. But when we make our decisions, they tend to point us in a direction oftentimes that are either good or bad. And a lot of times they're bad. When we make these choices and we go, oops, I did it again, and it's like it really has messed up my walk and my way that I've been in this world. And so we start with the premise that we have to say, I am decided. I'm decided. What that means is I decide ahead of time what God wants me to do. And if I know ahead of time what God wants me to do, when that opportunity comes, I take that decision and I know what God wants me to do in that particular case. And so that's kind of where we're going with today. And the decision I want you to commit to today is a decision not to quit. The decision not to quit. You say, well, I hadn't really given that much thought. Jeff, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that they're so easy to just give up in life. Not just, you know, I want to go to heaven, I want to die. But the kind of thing where you just go, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to do this. I've tried to pray. I've tried to have a prayer life. And I sit there and for 30 seconds, I say, okay, today I'm going to do this. And you pray and then you're looking at your phone and going, yep, that didn't last very long. Or you make a decision that you're going to lose some weight and you do really good for 2 or 3 days and then you just kind of give up. You just kind of quit. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about. And this specifically today, I want to talk to you about, has God called you to do something and you're thinking about not doing it, or you haven't been doing it, or you're here today and you're going, I just don't think I really want to do it. And I think this is happening all over the world. It's not just a here thing. It's everywhere. It's people are stopping attending services. I don't want to even go to a live service anymore. And I might watch it on TV. I might watch 2 or 3 different services on TV, parts of them, and I'll get out of it. But you don't get what God is calling you to do when the body comes together. The body, the Bible says God died for the church. And it means that he died that so we could get together, so that we could come together and to worship God. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is your decision today to decide that you're not going to quit. That you're not going to quit. And specifically, some areas that God might have called you to do. 20 years ago, when the Lord pushed us into this situation of having Impact Christian Church, which back then was called Hands and Feet, we started and we had no idea what we were doing. We knew that basically when we put the church together that we thought, we're going to put it together on things, what we've seen other churches do, and we'll do the opposite of what they've been doing. because I'd been in several churches and I'd seen some things that I liked and seen some things that I didn't think were of God or maybe what God wanted me to do. And so as I pursued those things and we pursued those things as a church, what happened is we begin to meld together and become together and form a family and form a group. And I believe one of the things that's kept us in the hunt, one of the things that has allowed us to continue to go, even though many times we don't have the largest attendance, we don't have the biggest church in town, we don't have any of those things, but what we do have is we have so much. And I think it's because the leadership of the church, our elders and the people and the leaders that have been here for so long have committed to say, we're not going to quit, and there's several things that we're going to do. And these things are the things we're going to do, and we're not going to do anything else. And we've talked about this, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this more this fall. We've talked about that as a church, we said we want to worship. We want to, and you know what? We've never had to have a boombox up here. We've never, except the first Sunday that we got together, we never had to do that. We've always had people who stand up and willing to say, I'll try. And that's incredible. And we have good worship for a church, not just a church our size. We have good worship people who care, people who say, I'm not going to give up. It'd be easy to. And there's people that have quit, and people said, I don't want to do it because of this or because of that. That doesn't matter. And we said, we're going to not just worship, but we're going to focus on kids and teens. And you know, we've continued to do that. We're known for one of the churches probably in Johnson County that still has a youth group on Sunday nights. Very few people there, and there's kids that come from other churches to our church because we have a group of kids and adults that meet. We said we're going to serve, and that's been one of the things that our church has always done. We've served, we've reached out, and we say we're going to be God's hands and feet. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God has honored us and has kept us in the hunt. And we always stay where God wants us to be. And I mean, I think he takes us and he takes our little and he does so much with it. And then we said we're going to pray. And I think we've done better at that. We've got to do better. But we said we're going to pray. And we're going to be a church that prays. And those are the things we're going to focus on. And I believe that's why this church is still going today. I can name you 12 churches that have stopped since 2003 when we stopped. 12 churches that came and went. And I don't know all the reasons why they left. But I know this. They're not here anymore. And God still has Impact Christian Church doing his business his way here in this church. We've taken our niche and we've carved it out and we said, this is who we are. And we've stuck to it. And we've got this family, this band of people who are pretty screwed up, who are pretty broken, who are pretty messed up, but still continue to come together and say, here I am, God, use me. And that's incredible. That's incredible. But I believe that there's some of us here, some of us online that are watching today that are coming to the point in our lives where we're saying, I need to stop. I've tried and I've asked God for this and I've asked him to do this in my life and I've asked him and he's asked me to do stuff and I try it and I hate it and it just seems horrible and I don't want to do it and I do it and I'm going to quit. I'm just going to stop. And I want to tell you today, I've come to say that there's a different way. So today I want to, if there's a word I want you to take home, today's word is this: I'm a finisher. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, I'm a finisher. Turn to your other neighbor. Turn to your other neighbor behind you. Good job, Tom. Tom almost moved his neck. He goes, I'm a finisher. That's what we're going to talk about today, that we want to finish, that we won't want to quit, that we don't want to stop, because by our nature, we tend to take the easy way out. By our nature, we tend to just say, I'll just stay home and watch online today, and then I'll watch it for about 5 minutes, and then I'll go do something else. Or I'll get in a life group. No, I won't get in a life group. I need to be in a life group, but I don't want to be in a life group. That's a commitment. I don't want to show up on Sunday morning. I want to show up on Tuesday. I'm home. I want to be home. I don't want to do anything else. So we're going to decide that I don't quit. Why? Because I'm a finisher. I'm a finisher. How do Jesus people, how do we strengthen our perseverance when the devil wants us to stop? How do we do that? Let's look at the words of Paul to Timothy, a guy that he loved deeply. He was probably in the pits of despair writing this letter to Timothy. He loves Timothy so much, and he's awaiting, he knows, to have his head cut off. He knows that he's going to be put to death, and he says these things in 2 Timothy 4, 5, and 7. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Let me say that again, for the Lord. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. You're going to have to get this in your crawl, because if you're going to be a Jesus person, you're going to have to not be afraid of suffering for the Lord, because there's people that don't like people who love Jesus. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news. Boy, these are sermons. Every phrase here is a sermon. Don't work at telling others the good news and fully, watch this, fully carry out the ministry God has given you. And then he goes on in verse 6. As for me, Paul, sitting in this quagmire, in this horrible dungeon of my life, and I know I'm about to be killed, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. It's already done. Everything, it's poured out. I did it. I gave it all. I gave it all. Here it is, God. Here I am. Use me. The time of my death is near. He knows it. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. We talked about that last week. I've remained faithful. He didn't say I've remained happy. He didn't say I've remained influential. He didn't say I've remained successful. He said I've remained faithful. I did what I know my boss said to do. Work at telling others the good news, he says. Fully carry out the ministry that God has given you, he says. And as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of death is near. It's coming, he says. Paul says, you know, I've fought the fight. I finished the race, and I've remained faithful. Now, let me ask you this. Here's what's really powerful about this. Don't check out on me, please. It's obvious that Paul finished his race, but you've not finished yours. That's my message today. You have not finished yours. Just because you're getting a little older doesn't mean you have to stop. Can't tell you how many times I've heard this. I'm going to let those young people do it. I'll let those youngsters do it. I did mine. I've done what I was supposed to do. I've been where I was. Now I let those youngsters do it. Bull hockey. Bull hockey. God has more for you to do, whether you're sitting here today and you're 70 years old and you're aching and you can barely stand up. God has something for you, because this is the truth that I want to send you to your day with. If you are not dead, you are not done. Let me say it again. If you're not dead, you are not done. Look at the person next to you and tell them, God's got more for me. Look to the other person. God's got more for me. God's got more for me. You are not done, because you're not dead. And some of you are like, but I've tried. I'm tired. Yeah, I'm not going to go into that. But think about this. Maybe there's some of you here that are stressed out and you're tired because you're so busy, but there's something that you're not doing for God, and I believe it's something that would distress you. I believe it's something, if you were in your zone, if you were doing what God asked you to do, you wouldn't be so dang tired, because he would refresh you. He would take that which you've got and he would use it in an incredible way. And in the meantime, while you're doing it, you get joy in the journey, not "this stinks." That's why some of you, when you serve, you "I don't want to do this." And somebody asks you to do something for "I know, not me." Think about this today. Maybe if you just said this simple prayer: "God, show me what you want to show me. God, show me what you want to show me, because I know you've asked me to do stuff before, and I answered the call, and maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm guilty because I'm doing something I know I shouldn't do. And so you put it on my heart." And I go, "No, you know me, I'm defective because I'm doing this. I watch a lot of porn. Or I'm kind of got a thing with pills, or I got a thing with alcohol, or I got a thing with somebody else, and I'm doing something with somebody I know I shouldn't do, so I'm just not going to do it." So you stop and you quit. "God, no matter where you are today, show me what you want to show me." And I'm talking about stuff that God has prompted you to do. We talked about this last week. If God prompts you to do something and you don't do it, you know what? I believe you go through a bunch of stress. I believe you go through a bunch of strife and trouble, and he's going to bring you back around the curve until you go, "Dang, I guess he wants me to do that. Dang, I think I'm not doing what he's wanting me to do." Jesus said this in Revelation 3. Look what he says. This is kind of a scary thing. "I know your deeds." Gosh. "I know your deeds. And people think you have a reputation of being alive, that you're a Christian. People look at you and go, 'Oh, he's a Christian.' But you are dead." It's Jesus, "But you stink. You're dead. You're dead." And some of you today, there's an aroma around you because you're dead. And Jesus is looking at you today, even if you're dead, and he's saying, "Wake up! Wake up!" Even if you're dead, even if you're here and you've gone so far and you go, "Oh my gosh, look at my life. Look at the refuse that's all around me." Jesus is saying to you, "Wake up, wake up. Strengthen what remains is about to die. For I found your deeds unfinished." There's that word. "I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of God. I called you to do something and you ain't doing it. I found your deeds unfinished." I want him to say that to me now, not when I get to the pearly gates. And I know I'm being a little bit tyrannical about this, but I want you to get the gist of where we're going with this today. You have some unfinished business if you are alive. What is your unfinished business? And that's what I want you to find today. I want you in this service to decide, what is your unfinished business? It may be that you were going to get more involved in God's serving God. It may be that you were going to join a life group. It may be that you were going to lose 10 pounds. It may be that you were going to start a ministry and help Jesus in the community. But you just kind of stopped. I love the advice the Apostle Paul gives in 2 Corinthians 8, 10, and 11. He says this: "Here's my advice, Apostle Paul, a guy that's about to die. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago." It'd be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give. You know, you ever start, oh, I'm going to do this. We got this. We're going to serve, and we're going to go to the hub, and we're going to go on a mission trip, and we're going to go here, and we're going to do that. You know, there's other things. Something else came along. Better offer, better deal. That kind of wore out. I love it. Last year, you were first who wanted to give, and you're the first to begin doing it. Let's go. Let's follow Jesus. A year later, you're sitting at home watching online, maybe. Maybe you're not even coming. Maybe you're not. It's like, Now you should finish what you started. There it is. Now you should finish what you started. I'm not a quitter. Finish what God has given you to do. Now, that may raise the question to some of you that are questioners, like the younger people here a little bit. But what's the big deal about quitting? If I quit, you know, what's the big deal? What if I quit going to church? Or what if I'm older and I want to let somebody else? The younger people need to take their share. Those young whippersnappers, they need to do it. I'll just throw some money at it every once in a while. I'll do this. What's the big deal? If you're alive, there are some things that would be divine assignments that you have not done. I don't know if you missed it. I hope you didn't miss Bob and Sandy Shelley's life. You know, they weren't these people that just were out there every day just doing, you know, they were out there knocking on doors and saying, come to Jesus. They just did it quietly. And when they passed, you saw all these people that were influenced by their quiet stillness, their quiet love. And they go, those people, even though they were older, they made an incredible difference in a lot of people's lives and the people that came into contact with them. Was it multitudes? Probably not. But it was the people that God put in their path. Those people go, dang, I love what they got because they got love from these folks. They got love and unconditional love. That's why it matters. That's why it matters, because God has a purpose for you as long as you've got breath in your lungs. Some of you need to understand this. Some of you have got to grasp this. And the reason it matters that you, if you quit, is this. Every decision you make is a vote towards your future. Every decision, every choice that you make to do something or not do something, it's something that happens and affects the way that you live the next day and the next week and the next week. Because if you've decided, I am decided, I'm a finisher and I'm not going to quit, then you've got to understand this. Look at the person next to you and say this. You may see me struggle. Do that. You may see me struggle. The other person, you may see me struggle, but you're not going to see me quit. Now, here we go. But you're not going to see me quit. The other person, but you're not going to see me quit. You may see me struggle. Listen, if you're not struggling, you're dead. You're dead. You stink. Well, Jeff, that's mean. No, that's in the Bible. Because when I commit, I don't quit. I'm a finisher. And I'm not a quitter. Acts 20:24, Paul said this. Right at the end of his life, he's got a letter out to the church in Acts. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. He knew he was going to die. He's in prison. He has got no creature comforts, and he's sitting there, and he's able to say that. And we complain, and we gripe, and we gritch, and we scream and we yell because things aren't exactly like they should be in our little bubble. Why was Paul able to finish and finish strongly? He just told you. Because he wasn't running for himself. He wasn't running for himself. He was running for his Savior. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me. It's not about me. It's not about my desires. It's not about my dreams. He said, I consider my life nothing to me. If only I'm going to do what you called me to do. That's pretty radical. You won't finish here what you're doing. Here's how you do it. It's really simple. You take one step, and then you take another step, and then you take another step, and then you take another step, and you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat. Remember, he wasn't running for himself. People who hated him, he loved them back. I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you this today. There are people who hate you for what you believe, what you say you believe. And you're going to have to come to the point where you say, can I love somebody who hates me, who wants to hurt me, who wants to take what I have and what I know is true and wants to move it out of the way at all costs? Am I going to be able to be that way? Am I going to love somebody who hates me? Right now, we get our everything gets in a wad if somebody doesn't even like us a little bit, or they say a mean word, or they go, we get a little sideways because somebody doesn't say hello to us or doesn't do the proper, you know, what in the world is that? And we get offended. Did you know what they didn't do? I'm not sure how this is going to play out in your life. But I know this, it may look like, for some of you, just digging in a little bit deeper. For some of you digging a little deeper, I'm gonna take one verse and I'm gonna live this verse out this month. I'm gonna take one verse and I'm gonna live it out. I'm gonna go the extra mile in people's lives. I'm gonna love those who are hard to love. Start there. Because there's coming a time when there's people, I believe, that not only hate you, they don't want to hear from you. They want to harm you. That's what the Bible says. Those days are coming. Those days are coming. I think they're getting pretty close. You want to finish? Take another step. Take another step. You don't have to run a marathon. You are running a marathon, but you don't have to do that. You just take one step. And you love somebody. You take one step and you invest in yourself and you invest in the Word of God and you get it inside of you. My message to you is this today, church. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. Some of you you've taken yourself out and you're sitting on the bench and you're complaining because you're not in the game. Look what those people do. You know, I'd like to do that, but I ain't got the time. How do they get the time to do that? I ain't got the time to do that. You make the time for what you want to make time for. Right? Right? You make time for what you want to do. Stay in the game, church. When you get knocked down, get back up. You got to believe with God's help you're going to finish. And what I hope you understand today is you're not running alone. I believe some of you are acting like you're running alone. You're running your marriage like you're running alone. You're running your business. You're running your life at work. You're running like you're running alone. Because those dang people in that shop, they don't understand you. They're just a bunch of, you know, those kids, they never listen. Those people, they just, no. That's why you got to be confident, church. And he who started a good work in you will finish it. He who started a good work in you will finish it until the day that Jesus Christ returns. Why is it that so many people are quitting? Why are so many people giving up? Why? And you're not. We don't sit here and go, "I give up." And we say it flippantly, and then we get back out there and we try it again. But there's some of us. You know who you are. You have stopped. You have quit. Why do so many people just give up so easily on their marriage? Because they know they can get another one. Why do so many people give up on a job where it's an incredible job, but I can't stand the people that I work with? You know, Edison took 1,000 times to invent the light bulb. 1,000 ways, he said, I found out not how to get the light bulb. He, time after time, he tried. What if he wouldn't have tried that 1,001 time? What if he wouldn't have? Well, somebody else would invent it. Yeah, probably so. But I want you to get the gist of that this morning. Probably the most simple reason that so many people quit is because it's an option. There's another man, there's another woman, there's another job, there's another thing that I can do. There's always something else. There's always another option. And I love the story. Some people say it's not true, but I love it because it's a great story. It's about the great Spanish conquistador. His name was Hernan Cortes. He issued one of the most interesting orders to his men as they began to conquer the Aztec Empire back in 1519. And so what's going on is Cortes is about to send his armies against this one of the most powerful enemies that he's found there on this new land. And he's addressing his men before the first battle. He says this, "Men, look around behind you," and they all turn around, and the boats that they got there with, they're all up in smoke. He said, "I burned the boats." Why did you burn the boats? Because all we're going to do is we're going to go forward, and we're going to look forward. And you know what? All the legends say that they went forward, and they did what? Because they didn't have any option. There was no plan B. There's no plan B. It's important that you look at your life with Jesus, that there's no option. I am going to serve him to the day I die. I'm going to do everything I can. As long as there's air in my breath, I'm going to serve him. It's the way we approach the risk, because there's risk. I understand. There's risk. That's why we quit. Because, what if I keep going, I could get hurt. Yes. If I keep going, this could happen. Yes. But there's always a risk. And the risk make all the difference because he is with us. You are not alone. You are very much have a helper. So shouldn't we approach God's calling with a similar mindset? Putting your heart and your soul into something that has forever, ever, ever consequences. You know, I loved high school sports, and I put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours into fitness, and it taught me so many things. But you know, at 63, I'm not sure it was worth everything that I put my time in. And I missed a lot of other things. I missed relationships. You say, "Well, should we do it?" No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying be very careful about what you put all your time into. That you put your life into something, a club or some organization, and you go, when you're dead, does it really matter? No. But I'm telling you what. You come along some person and show them Jesus, and it's a forever consequence. It's a forever thing. You come along somebody that's hurting and crying, and you pray with them. There's a forever consequence to that. But the cars that you're working on and the houses that you're investing a lot of your time and your treasure, all that stuff is not going to be here pretty soon. It's going to be gone. And all you got is your relationship with Jesus and your forever time with him. And so I ask you today, are you willing to burn your boats? Are you willing to burn your boats so that you can move forward? I am decided. I am not a quitter. I am a finisher. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the band to come. Jesus, we pray. That you would speak to our hearts today. Because it's just so easy to want to just stop and say, I'll move on to something else. And I'll go to my pets. I'll go to my stuff. I'll go to everything else but to the relationships around me. And God, if we're alive here today, we get it that you have something for us. So God, what is it? So during this ministry time today, show us what it is that you want to do in us. Show us how to start back up. Forgive us, Jesus. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. You know, the older I get, I so believe that. You're going to see me struggle. You are. But you're not going to see me quit. You're not going to see me quit. And I pray that that will become your motto today. Because I'm a disciple of Jesus. And so are you. And he's the ultimate finisher and perfecter of our faith. He started it and he will finish it. So if you're here today, and you want to say something in your spirit and your mind, say this. You don't say it out loud. When I commit, I don't quit. I'm a finisher. I don't quit. God, help us to be faithful today. Help us to be those people that you first called us to be. And when we got that first excitement about following you, you'll bring it back in us. You'll start that fire back. That will stop griping and crying and being fear-based people. But we'll be people who say, with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. I can smile at the storm. With Christ in my vessel, I'll smile through the storm.